Hi, Goodwoch and Freilichen Chanukah. Happy Chanukah, everybody. That's right. We are the fifth night into Chanukah, and it is a very special, which is a very lit, amazing spiritual time. I'm going to split this week's Dvar into something related to Miketz and then something a little more general related to Chanukah, although they do kind of tie together. But even the one about the Parsha is also tied into Chanukah as well. So in this week's Parsha, Paro is impressed by Yosef's wisdom, and he gives him the unusual title of Tzafnat Paneach. There are many commentaries who try to address the meaning of this term, and the Ramban writes that it means the one who reveals what is hidden. Now, he explains this based on the teaching of early Rishonim that the word Tzafnat comes from Tzafun, which means hidden, as we see by hiding the Afikomen on Pesach, or the concept of the north being hidden above. And then the word paneach is seen in the word mifaneach, which means to reveal, or in modern Hebrew, it means to decode. Therefore, Yosef is the one who can reveal that which is hidden. Now, Rav Ginsburg explains, I apologize, don't remember his first name, explains that which is hidden is often known as a secret. Right? Now, one of the words for secret is raz, resh zayin, and the gematria of tzafnat paneach is precisely four times that of raz. Now, there's a concept of four, and four represents kind of the four basic lateral dimensions, and basically it's kind of spreading out into the physical world, into the reaches. So it's basically kind of like taking something which is secret and spreading it across the face of the earth, for lack of a different interpretation. Now we see the root raz, resh zayin, actually come up earlier in the parsha when Paro is telling over his dreams. We find the word razeh, right, which means skinny, referring to the skinny cows. Now, Chazal teach that in the many connections of the Parsha, this time of year, this specifically relates to Hanukkah, that the skinny cows swallowing up the large, robust cows is a demonstration of the weak defeating the mighty, as happened numerous times throughout our history, including David and Goliath, but also the story of Hanukkah, right? The Rabban Biyad Mi'atim, right? We have the many in the hands of the few. Now, the Razek cows are specifically the ones that are actually truly the mighty, despite them being small and scrawny. They may be skinny, they may be rosette, but they are actually contain the most razim, they contain the most secrets, and therefore the most powerful. That which is small can actually have the most potential. One may not see that potential, but it's present in abundance. Now we see this the most by a flame, right? You can have something incredibly small, you can have a little itty-bitty match, and you can start an entire conflagration. You can even start a forest fire that way, right? With just one little match, one little strike of sticks or stones or other two things you rub together or some little lighter, right? One little strike. It seemingly like, I mean, even you can even just strike two things, I said, like a stick or stone, things that seemingly are just innocuous and are relatively harmless on their own. But it can combust into a fiery flame. It has an enormous amount of potential that is hidden within the material. And then you wind up having something which not only seemingly materializes out of something small, but can be transferred over and become not just one entity, but can spread over to multiple entities, right? It can grow exponentially. And this is part of the secret of Hanukkah, to realize the potential that Hashem has given to each and one of us, and the spirit potential that the Torah has to awaken, the fiery flame in all of us. And we know that our Chazal teach that our souls are akin to a flame, right? So we can awaken those flames and spread in a beautiful way. Now, the key character in the Parshiot we're reading now, obviously, is Yosef. Now, the word Yosef comes from the root to add, Yosef. We add one flame each night, and each flame, therefore, in a sense, expands. Just as the influence of Yosef grew and grew until 70 members of a small nation became a myriad when we were in Egypt. So may, as we light the menorah, as well as the Shabbos candles, be reminded of the inherent amazing potential that lies hidden in every aspect of life, including in ourselves, and the blessing to be able to add on and keep growing and strengthening our inner flame. Now, a second piece to that, a different aspect also dealing with the flame, is focusing on Hanukkah, that most festivals tend to begin on the 15th of the month, right? Shavuos doesn't, but a lot of them begin on the 15th. I mean, even Purim, which is rabbinic holiday, effectively is the 15th. Shushan Purim is the 15th, right? But Pesach is on the 15th of the month. Sukkot is on the 15th of the month. Tu B'Av on the 15th of the month, so not everyone. Now, Shavuos, separate conversation why it has to fall on the 6th and 7th, but, the Hanukkah is on the 25th, a number that we don't generally see relating to holidays. So what's its significance? First of all, the purpose of Hanukkah is realizing that it stems from one protracted miracle, right? You had one flame that lasted for 8 days, right? Or you had one-eighth of the oil lasting for the entire time. But not just that, That also is prolonged from the previous miracle of the military victory that we had, small defeating many, right? As we said, small amount of people, very, very few defeating many. So that's all projected. The only reason we were even able to get access to some kind of menorah into the temple at all was because we won the war. So it's all part of one projected miracle. So what does this have to do with the 25th, right? And then all 8 days of Hanukkah are inherently connected to the first day, right? Because it all stems from the first inauguration and when we got back to the temple, got back to Beit HaMikdash, right? And then the only other 7 days are possible because of the first day. So forgetting about what even led up to Hanukkah, even the other 7 days of Hanukkah are predicated on the first day. Now, the number 25 is symbolized by the letters Kaf and the letter Hey. Kaf Hey. Kaf is 20, Hey is 5. Now, Kaf literally means a palm or a spoon, and it shows us many things. And I want to read to you an explanation from the Sefer HaMa'amarim, which I found on Chabad.org. These are its words. Kaf is a letter that is bent. It represents the aspect of submitting oneself to a greater power, and this notion of submission and humility can be seen clearly in the difference between the word Anochi and Ani. Both mean I. When a person walks around all day and says I, he has a problem with egotism. So how does one overcome this self-inflation? By adding a Kaf to the word Ani and make it Anochi, he transforms it into Anochi. When the I submits to God, when he recognizes and bends to the higher power through the Kaf, it is no longer the egotistical I, but rather it is I that am able to serve as a channel to do God's will. That's the end of the quote. On Hanukkah, we combine the Kaf and the Hay. As I have explained before, and I'll explain again, the letter Hey is comprised of, if you look at the way it's written, a Yud and a Dalet, which oversimplistically represents a combination or synthesis of the spiritual and physical worlds. There are two different realms that are operating together. When one sees a flame, it is caused by the friction of two solid objects to form something intangible, almost ethereal. The flames point upwards to the heavens and dance as if suspended between heaven and earth. When one transfers the flame, it is truly a matter of combustion, and it can either result in increased light or it can result in a terrible conflagration and destructive. The same is true by arguments. Chana may begin on Kaf Hei, but it usually ends on Bet Tevet. The final night of Hanukkah falls out on the second day, or Bet of the month, to remind us of the differences in how they could play out. Right? The letter Bet, although it can also represent a house, also connotes the concept of duality, which can also represent a conflict or things going in two different directions or two different people or ideas butting heads, right? Machlokas. So the letter Bet can represent difference, right? And can lead to strife, drive people apart. And that is symbolic of the conflagration that can be very destructive and may have lasting impression. Things get burnt, things get destroyed, and might not be easy to repair them or possibly repair it at all. They might not be easily forgotten, maybe irreparable damage for years to come. But a good debate, much like the ones between Hillel and Shammai, were the fire in the shape of a holy flame. They used the flame in a positive way, in a spiritual positive way. Because the letter Bet also means bite, it means house. Two people are never going to completely agree, even if they're husband and wife. But they very much don't agree. But by working together and respecting their differences and striving to understand the other's point of view, and you can expand the knowledge for the sake of truth and not focusing on the ego, not focusing on the ani, but focusing on the anochi. What can I do to make the familial system better? What can I do to make my children's lives better? What can I do to make my wife's life better? What can I do to help further the reason that Hashem put me in this world? Then one can create flames or beauty that will last more than 8 days, perhaps a lifetime. So we have this Kaf, we have this platform, the ability to submit oneself, although obviously it could be arrogant, right? Your palm, is it straight out and therefore arrogant and egotistical, or is it curved and therefore somewhat humbled and focused? And then what are you doing? How are you combining your spiritual and physical endeavors? How are you doing that? And what's your focus, right? So that's what we need to think about, you know, with respect to our relationship with Hashem and respect to our relationship with other people. We have a flame inside of us, and we all become a flame when we act and when we speak, when we do everything like that. So what are we going to be? Are we going to be a beautiful flame that spreads the light of spirituality and growth and warmth, or are we going to be a conflagration and we're going to cause destruction? We have to think about that. We have a lot more power than we realize, and it's something to think about. We could think, hopefully focus on the beauty and the amazing qualities that we can spread to others and to the world. Shabbat Shalom and Hanukkah Sameach.